You'll see a few headlines saying the Pope has given his blessing to it. But that's as tall a tale as the new book that's been released in Rome Tuesday. The Gospel According to Judas is the brainchild of British writer Geoffrey Archer, who enlisted the expertise of Catholic theologian Father Francis Maloney, a scholar and major superior of the Salesian Order. With Father Maloney's assistance, Archer hoped to create a fictional gospel, written and presented in a style similar to the canonical gospels. The story was to appear credible to early Christians and Jews from the first century, the very period when some of the so-called Gnostic Gospels were beginning to appear. It is on one of these Gnostic Gospels that the new book draws its inspiration. Last April, historians in Egypt announced they had discovered an ancient manuscript dating to the 2nd century, the Gnostic Gospel of Judas. It was just one of a series of others, the Gospels of Thomas, of Philip, and of Mary Magdalene. But the Dean of Theology of the Pontifical Athenaeum Regina Apostolorum, Father Tom Williams, says historically the Gnostic Gospels can't compete with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gnostic movement predated Christ himself.
It predates Christianity in that it already existed. There already was a Gnostic movement before the birth of Christ. And then afterward, it took some of these themes to kind of exemplify ideas that already had. For example, a very important one is the idea that God is not all good. God is not perfect. And when he created the world, he was the one who created evil. And where Christians generally attributed the origin of evil to the rebellion against God and his will, either by angels or by man, and we're talking here about original sin, the Gnostics attributed that to an imperfect creation by God himself. And to back this up, they would take biblical figures such as Esau, the brother of Jacob, who sold his birthright for a plate of pottage, or Cain, the brother of Abel, the first one is portrayed as the first murderer within the Bible, or the person of Judas, and try to rehabilitate them and show that they were just doing what God wanted them to do anyway.
So, why was the Pontifical Biblical Institute involved in the presentation of Archer's own version of a Gnostic Gospel of Judas? Well, there's no one better to answer that question than the Biblicum's rector, Father Stephen Pisano.
A question that many people will ask is why the Biblical Institute has accepted to host the presentation of this book. The Institute, as a scholarly institution, is not concerned with modern-day fiction. The only reason why we accepted to allow the book to be presented is the presence of Father Francis Maloney, who is a well-known and very capable New Testament scholar. The story of Judas is one that has raised questions throughout history, and we accepted Father Maloney's request to present the book so that he could give us his view of what we know and what we do not know about Judas from the way he is portrayed in the New Testament. I would like to emphasize that allowing the presentation of this book does not imply that either the Biblical Institute itself, or the Vatican, or the Pope endorses this book in any way. We simply wish to provide a forum for scholarly discussion on one aspect of New Testament studies, and we are counting on Father Maloney to provide that discussion and to explain the reasons for his own participation in this project. We are, of course, aware that by allowing this book to be presented, there is the risk of using the Institute's name for commercialization of the book. This is, I suppose, an unavoidable side effect. Unlike most book presentations, this book will not be available for purchase at the Institute, since the commercial aspect is not our concern. Our main concern is the Bible itself. And if the discussion encourages people to read the Bible and to read it carefully and intelligently and prayerfully, then it may be that permitting the presentation of this book can be considered to be justified.
Father Stephen Pisano is rector of the Pontifical Biblical Institute here in Rome. Well, some of the Gnostic Gospels, and indeed modern novels, and Archer's book, attempt to rehabilitate the figure of Judas from the disciple who betrayed Jesus into the good guy. Father Tom Williams again.
that's something that's not new. There are all sorts of, we even have in popular culture all sorts of examples of this. Jesus Christ Superstar, the novel I, Judas. You have, many people that have written about trying to in some way exonerate Judas from these charges of being the bad guy. He was probably just trying to help Jesus. Some say he was trying to push Jesus into revealing himself more fully. He thought Jesus was going too slowly. That's not the idea we get from the canonical Gospels, which describe Judas, first of all, as a thief, that he held the common purse and would kind of help himself to what was in it, and also that he, in the end, really didn't seem to believe in Jesus anymore, that he had kind of been deluded and he felt that things weren't going right. And so in the end, he handed him over. Although, I think it's very important to underscore the fact that the great crime of Judas, and this has been part of Christian tradition from the beginning, was not so much the betrayal. Peter also, whom we know as a great saint and the first pope, also denied Christ three times. These great sins are not unforgivable, and the sin of Judas was not unforgivable. And Christians have always felt that the greater sin of Judas was that of despair and suicide afterward, rather than seeking forgiveness the way Peter did, rather than the initial sin of betraying Jesus itself.
Is there anything wrong with rehabilitating Judas from the bad to the good guy? Ours is a faith in which forgiveness and friendship play a central part.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it at all, in the sense that the Church has made no statements about the eternal state of Judas's soul. This is something reiterated by Pope John Paul in 1994 in his book Crossing the Threshold of Hope, where he says that even, Jesus' very strong words, because Jesus is Jesus himself in the Gospel who says, better for that man if he had never been born, which is a very strong statement. He said, even there, we can't infer from that necessarily that Jesus is damned. So, the Church will never make a statement saying, we know the state of his soul. And I think it is always better to assume the best, and certainly to lay much more emphasis on the infinite power of God's mercy as compared to the misery of our sins.
But this doesn't mean we can pick and choose which Gospels to believe. The four canonical Gospels are unique in Christian literature.
Scholars are in basic agreement today that at least three out of four of the canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written before the end of the first century. Two, the Gospels of Matthew and John, were written either by those two disciples or someone very, very close to them. Luke had a lot of inside information, many believe, either through Peter or through Mary, Jesus' mother herself, and obviously was traveling around with St. Paul as well. And Mark was a good friend of Peter. So these were all people that were either eyewitnesses or very close to eyewitnesses. When they speak about what Jesus did and what he said, they're writing from the exact same time period. Whereas the Gnostic Gospels, which start appearing in the mid-2nd century and then go on into the 3rd century, were actually a product of a different movement.
Well, if anything, Archer's book may get people rereading their Bibles at home. Many thanks there to Father Tom Williams, Dean of Theology at the Pontifical Athenaeum Regina Apostolorum. And earlier, you heard from Father Stephen Pisano, rector of the Biblical Institute here in Rome.